Amen. Well, guys, my job tonight, other than the bright red shirt, is to remind us of what this is about. And tonight I want to do that in a number of different ways, but the primary way that I want to do that is through my favorite Christmas song. Do you guys have a favorite Christmas song? Anybody have a favorite? What are your favorite Christmas songs? Yell them out. What do we got? Did someone yell out, "Grandma got run over by a reindeer" over here? Was that Chuck that ripped? Okay, well, that's better. I heard someone yelled out my favorite right over here, "Silent Night." Yeah, that's my absolute favorite. But have you ever thought about the lyrics of "Silent Night"? You actually got the lyrics in that little book there of that song. But have you ever thought about those lyrics in regards to our Christmases today? How many of you know what a silent night actually looks like? Yeah, pretty much none of us, right? And this time of the year, even more so. Would you agree with that? How many of you, anybody buy a Christmas gift today? Anybody went shopping today? Yeah, see, okay, some of your hands are up, okay? Now, I don't know why people do this. I still have yet to figure this one out. Now, I know there are some people, I think my mom used to have a friend who just loved shopping. And they would actually wait to do all their shopping on Christmas Eve. Because they loved what they called the atmosphere of the mall on the 24th of December. Some people just do it because there's better sales or something like that, you know, whatever the reasons might be. And if you're anything like me, the main reason will usually be procrastination, because you just didn't get something in time, or something else came to mind and you had to go take care of those things. Now, I had to pick up a few things earlier this week, and it was interesting. It was interesting. There were a few places we went. I seriously thought I was going to need body armor. it was rough. Now, whatever the reason may be for us finding ourselves out there on the busyness of Christmas Eve or whatever it might be, you're hearing a lot of stuff, aren't you? You hear cash registers ringing, right? And the doors shutting. You hear people talking and yelling and running. And you got bags crunching and boxes bustling all over the place, right? You've got people everywhere in the parking lot. You got, you know, screeching tires and honking horns, one of which was mine on Monday. If that was you, I apologize. But, all right, I mean, these are often the real sounds of our silent night. And even if we avoid the malls, right, even if you are able to avoid all of the shopping madness and the crowds and all of those sorts of things, what's the decibel level like at home right now? I see a lot of faces here tonight that I don't know, which means you're probably in town to visit friends, family, right? And what happens? Houses get full and there's people everywhere. Of course, all the kids are out of school. That helps, right? You know, they're fighting over the television or the Xbox or, you know, or maybe, you know, the wrapping paper and the tape. Where's the scissors, right? You probably heard that a lot the last couple of weeks. And you've got all, and then of course you've got the Christmas chef, right? Just working away in there because she's got this amazing meal the next day. And so you're hearing pots clanging and cabinets shutting and, well, maybe some other things when there's more smoke in the air than they prefer and, you know, all that kind of stuff going on. But it's a lot of noise, right? Or maybe it's just the sound of the official toy assembler. Maybe you're that person. You know, I was always stuck in the basement whenever I had to assemble toys. Maybe you're out in the garage or up in the attic. I don't know. But basically, you got the groans and the kicks and the yelling that comes apparently inherently from building a Barbie dream house or something of that sort. And so this is the sort of sounds that we often have at Christmas Eve. And if it didn't happen that way for you today or this week, I suspect there's been Christmas Eves in the past when it has been that way for you. Those are the real honest sounds of our silent night. Even a Christmas Eve church service like this one holds little more than a suggestion of a silent night, right? I mean, there's all the hard work of running around and preparing. And by the way, thank you, all of you that came here early and helped set everything up. And we really appreciate that. But there's all that running around. And then, of course, there's all the, the joyful greetings and Merry Christmas and hey, how you doing? And that's wonderful, of course. And you got wonderful music playing that we get to sing to. And even as we actually sing Silent Night here in just a few minutes, there will be precious few moments of silence as the candles glow, and hopefully, maybe we're a little bit overwhelmed again by the amazing things that the Lord has done for us. And yet, how quickly that silence is over, huh? And all of a sudden, we're out of here, we're hustling and bustling again, or getting chilly and talking and laughing and enjoying until we finally, well, at least I will, basically collapse into bed tonight at some point, probably around midnight or one, and very quickly, I'm sure, fall to sleep. Does that sound like? Am I capturing a lot of what our Christmases are often like? Well, guys, the reason I'm going into all of that is because I actually think it's appropriate. Absolutely appropriate that our Christmas Eve, that our silent night should be filled with sounds and hustle and bustle and maybe even some turmoil. It's appropriate because that was probably the case on the very first Christmas night. I want you to think about that with me for just a few minutes. Can we do that? I want us to kind of go back there to the best of our ability. And we talked about, as I read in Luke chapter 2 earlier, we talked about Bethlehem, right? You've all heard of Bethlehem. Bethlehem was a tiny little place. Okay? I mean, we're not talking Manhattan. We're not talking Miami. We're not talking Denver, Colorado Springs. We're not talking Monument. We're not even talking Lyman. We're talking a tiny, tiny little place. But this was a place that had a huge heritage. As we read earlier, we see that the descendants of King David, well, Jesse, his father, really, that they all came from Bethlehem. And so they had to return to their ancestral home for this census that the Roman government was having done. And Jesse, as you may remember, had a pretty big family. He had 8 sons. And that was just one generation. Now we're hundreds and hundreds of years later. And so basically what you have is all of those descendants descending on Bethlehem in a very, very short period of time. Have you ever sat in line at the post office to drop off your tax stuff on April 15th? And seen some of those crowds? Okay, that's what this was. It was tax day. That's what this was that was happening in Bethlehem. And so all of these people were descending there. Believe you me, it was anything but a silent night. The village is overflowing with strangers. People have never been there before. They're kind of in a strange environment themselves. And according to Scripture, there's no more room in the inns. Apparently all the holiday inns are booked and everything is full and there's no place for anybody to stay because so many people have come at one time. All the restaurants, I suspect, are booked to capacity. And what happens whenever crowds descend on a place? Isn't there always some energetic entrepreneurs that all of a sudden start hawking stuff? You know, whether it's entertainment or their goods, their wares. So they're probably all out there as well. You probably got a little gambling going on somewhere. You probably got gala parties going on among the rich folk. You probably got a lot of this happening in this little town. Everyone looking for something to do. And then on top of that, you've got the families. Babies, children, all complaining and crying as children often do when they get cranky or in places they're not used to. Teens and adults probably getting out of hand every once in a while as well, I suspect. Now, we don't really know from Luke chapter 2 exactly every last thing that was, you know, going on in Bethlehem, but I think it's safe to assume that it was anything but a silent night. Bethlehem was a small town, crowded to the gills with visitors to the extent that there wasn't even room available for one poor teenager who was ready to give birth. And so the town has noise everywhere. If you really stop about and think about it, the lyrics of Silent Night kind of get that part wrong, I think. In fact, it was almost certainly a very, very noisy night. Now, on top of that, the most important event that was happening on that silent night took place in a stable, right? Took place in a barn, it says. Now, as Pastor Don rightly pointed out last Saturday, this was not, you know, your red barns of lore that we tend to think of in the U.S. No, this more than likely was a cave. A hollowed out area in the rock where animals could get under and get out of the elements. Now the Gospel of Luke tells us that the sheep are out in their fields. But when you've got this many people descending on a town, they probably, a lot of them, bringing their animals, bringing different things with them. So I suspect in that little manger, in that little stable rather, you had cows and chickens and donkeys and goats, maybe a dog or two. Have you ever noticed that animals are never quiet when you want them to be quiet? Right? You know, never. And so, and not only that, but if the stable was a cave, then you've basically got all that noise bouncing off of the rock walls. On top of that, you've got this whole business of Mary giving birth in that stable. Now, I can't speak for any of you guys, but I do know that when our sons, Josh and Jeff were born, and when my daughters, Holly and Kyla, were born, that room was anything but silent. Would you agree? Probably most of you in one way or another have been around when a baby was being born, right? There's not a lot of serene, quiet, pastoral moments. Instead, there's lots of screaming and yelling and maybe threats and all sorts of things, you know, going on in that room, and I would imagine some of those sounds in this stable were anything but peaceful. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God told Eve, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children." Jesus was Mary's firstborn. And there's absolutely nothing in Scripture to suggest, and I'm sorry if it just kind of, you know, messes with our greeting card idea of the whole scene, but there's nothing in Scripture to suggest that she felt any less pain than any other woman who ever gave birth to a child. I think Mary made lots of noise. Maybe even screamed, maybe cried. Probably gripped Joseph's hand like a vice grip, so maybe Joseph was screaming, right? I mean, this is what's going on. Again, anything but a silent night. And then, there's just the fact of the baby Jesus Himself. Guys, when a baby is born, what's the very first thing that they do? They cry, right? Or at least, that's what we hope, right? I mean, every mom and dad that's ever existed, that's a cry of joy when you hear that, huh? That means the baby's okay. They're breathing on their own. And of course, Jesus, I'm sure, was crying as well. Now, newborns do tend to sleep a lot, but when they're not sleeping, guess what they tend to do a lot? Yeah, they tend to cry. And again, I think we've kind of gotten this idea over the years that because Jesus was the Son of God, that He never cried. Just a little cherub face. You know. There's nothing in Scripture to suggest such a thing. And babies cry a lot. They cry when they're hungry, right? They cry when they're wet. They cry when they're dirty. They cry when they get cold. They cry when they just want mama to come over and give them a big old hug and hold them. The cry is the only way a baby can tell us what they need, whether they're hungry or thirsty or whatever it is that they might need. Now, again, you can see that the scene there, anything but silent. And then, and this is my favorite part, there's the shepherds out in the field, right? Watching their flocks by night, Luke says. Now, I'll be honest with you. I have not the foggiest idea whether sheep are quiet at night. Don't know. Never even. I'm not even sure if I've ever even been around a sheep. But nonetheless, I don't know if they're quiet at night. But even if they are, no matter how quiet they may have been that night, things changed very suddenly. All of a sudden, out there in those fields, it got very, very loud. As we read earlier in Luke chapter 2, and I want to read it to you again. It says, "And an angel of the Lord stood suddenly before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened." Did you catch that? They weren't musing about it, okay? They weren't going, that's interesting. I wonder. No, they were flat out terrified. Because they were seeing a supernatural being. We don't know what he looked like, right? He'd be 6'5". He could have been 65 feet tall. We don't know, but whatever they saw terrified them. And then the angel has to respond to that. He says, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men on whom His favor rests." Guys, whatever silence there may have been out in that field, however docile the sheep may have been, or dozy and sleepy the shepherds might have been, I think it is safe to assume that's all gone. Right? That's entirely gone. And it is replaced with the most glorious and joyous words by the angel of the Lord, and the joyous praising of God together by a massive number of angels. Can you picture that? Can you imagine? Can you place yourself in that amazing situation? You can only imagine how beautiful that singing must have been. Can you imagine just hearing it echoing off of the mountains, the hills, whatever was nearby, touching the hearts of those shepherds who God chose to hear the announcement of His come into this world? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. It's awesome, isn't it? It's also loud. But when the skies got silent again, when all those angels went back to heaven and I guess the skies just kind of closed up, it was the shepherds' turn to break the silence. Luke 2 says, "When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began exclaiming to one another." In other words, they're yelling. They're shouting. This should surprise none of us, right? Considering all that they've just heard and seen. And they said, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry. In other words, full-on sprint all the way into town. That also implies, guys, that they were going all through town. They didn't know. It's not like the angel gave them the address, right? He didn't say, oh, you know, the barn down the street, third one on the right. No, he didn't say. He said, you'll find the baby in a manger. So they're going to every single barn looking for a baby in the manger until they get to the right one. And they're running as they do so. And it says that they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in a manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them by the angel about the child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. Noisy, huh? Think about it. All of a sudden, a big gang of shepherds running through the streets of Bethlehem, shouting and yelling and talking and excited. You would have been too, if that had been you. And the shepherds weren't done making noise. Verse 20 says, the shepherds went back after it was all done. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard. Not inwardly. You know, they weren't going, well, thank you, Lord. No, they were shouting their praise for what they had seen and heard. What God had offered for them to see with their own eyes. All of that resounding loudly through the hills and the streets of little Bethlehem on that first Christmas Eve. So, guys, really, no matter how you look at it here, that first Christmas was anything but silent. Would you agree? Absolutely. There is just no way it was a quote-unquote silent night. My favorite Christmas song, and apparently a few of you have the same favorite song, our favorite song doesn't have it quite right in that regard. Yet at the same time, guys, my favorite Christmas song is also right. Right in every respect. On that night, Jesus did sleep in heavenly peace. The glories did stream from heaven afar. And the heavenly host did actually sing, Alleluia. Christ Jesus is born, the Savior. The Christ child who lay in that manger, who cried and cuddled in his mom's arms, was and still is today Lord at his birth. Guys, he didn't become Lord later. Jesus, Lord at thy birth. That is who he was. The King of kings and Lord of lords in a manger in a tiny little town. And guys, I want us all to remember tonight that that really is the whole point of Christmas. Now, please don't misunderstand. I love all of the other parts too. And I'm not one of those people that, you know, I'm not some curmudgeon that's going to go, oh, how dare you have a tree, or how dare you give presents, how dare you. No, I mean, I like jingle bells, you know, as much as anybody else. But as believers in Jesus Christ, we need to be regularly reminded of what this is really all about. And that is what this is all about. Jesus Lord at his birth. Not the stable, not the manger, not the shepherds, not our beautiful Christmas carols. None of those things are the main point. The whole point of Christmas is that God sent his Son to be born of a virgin named Mary, to be born Lord at his birth. He didn't come with the glory of God. I've always been amazed at the way God did choose to do this. I suspect I would have done it differently, which inherently means it would have been wrong. But this is the way that God chose to enter humanity as a humble and precious baby. He didn't come in silence, reverential awe, but with joy, with shouts and praise and glory for the world to hear and for the world to share. He came, and some didn't even recognize Him, guys. Sadly, in fact, most really still do not recognize who Jesus is. But God He was, and God He remains. He came as true man and true God to save us from our sins. And roughly 33 years after this not so silent night, that is exactly what He did. He exchanged the rough wood of a manger for the rough wood of a cross, and He died in my place. And He died in your place for our sins that we had committed against a holy God. And He did so not only as Jesus, meek and mild, He did so as Lord. He perished for you and I as the Lord of the universe so that we could be made right with God. So guys, we're going to sing the song that Christians have been singing for almost 200 years now. And we're going to sing about a silent night that was almost certainly anything but silent. And then we're going to close our service by singing, along with the angels, "Joy to the World." But guys, let's all remember, that's what this is about tonight. It's not just about chili. It's not just about friends and family and gathering together. Let's remember that everything we're singing about is possible because of the truth of the beautiful words of praise, the beautiful words that really are a central confession of our Christian faith. Jesus, Lord at Thy birth. I, for one, am very glad that those words were loudly proclaimed that first Christmas Eve. Are you? I'm completely content that it wasn't quiet. If they were shouting to the rafters for all to hear that Jesus is Lord. And if you have not allowed Jesus to be Lord of your life, see, if He's Lord, that has an effect on every one of us. That means He's in charge. It means He's in authority. It means He's God. If you have never allowed Jesus to be Lord of your life, to rule your life, perhaps you're allowing yourself to rule your life or other things to rule your life, I want to encourage you this Christmas Eve, bow your knee. Because that's really what this is about. It's about submission. Bow your knee and bow your heart and allow Jesus to rule and reign in your life. And so, tonight, as we light our candles, everybody got candles? As we light our candles, worship team, why don't you come on up? As we light our candles, as we do each Christmas Eve, we do so for a purpose, guys. It's not for ambiance. It's not to get all the young kids to ooh and ah because they get to handle something incredibly dangerous in a very old church. It is to represent that very truth. That Jesus was Lord at His birth. It is to represent that truth, that light, and then that truth and light that we pass on to others. That's represented as we light the candles of the person next to us. And so why don't we all stand together, if you would. and we're going to sing with joy about that not so silent night. Amen. With a gift we could have never afforded, paid for, earned. Thank you for sending your Son. And Lord, we do thank you that He didn't just remain a cute baby that graces all of our greeting cards, but that He became a man, a perfect man who never sinned, who declared the words of God to this world. Because He was the Word. And then willingly, of His own choice, gave up His life for us. The perfect for the imperfect. The sinless for the sinful. Father, thank you for that gift. On this Christmas Eve, on our noisy Christmas Eve, thank you for coming into this world. Thank you for rescuing us. And Father, tonight I also want to thank you for the fact that you work even when we are dead set against you. Your word declares that even while we were yet enemies, your Son died for us. Father, no matter how hard our heart is, no matter how strong our desire or refusal to bow our knee, no matter how confused we might be, You never stop loving us. You never stop pursuing us. And we thank You for that. Father, thank You for Christmas and all that it truly means. And tonight, Father, I thank You for the joy and the privilege of sharing this holiday with these brothers and sisters, friends and family. We love You, Father. Thank You for sending joy into this world. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing Joy to the World loudly.
Joy to the world, the Lord.
Thank You for bringing us together to worship You tonight on this first night of Your coming celebration. Thank You, Lord, for rescuing us from the sin of ourselves in this world. Thank You for bringing us into Your family. I pray we would not neglect so great a salvation. May Your blessing be on each one tonight as we fellowship together and with family in the coming days. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.